The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
Pastor Mike, good afternoon. Welcome to Tuesday's Man in Line, open line through till one today. Before we go any further, I must say hello to everybody on board the Le Bellow, the cruise ship that's tied up by Douglas Harbour at the moment. Came in this morning around 9:30. So hello to the captain and the crew and the passengers of Le Bellow. Yes, what do you think of this? The chief exec of Manx Care is announcing she's stepping down from the role after 5.5 years. Teresa Cope is going. She came in on its inception. That's Manx Care's inception on the 1st of April 2021 and will be leaving in the summer to take new opportunities in the future. And we've invited Teresa Cope to come and chat to us about this decision. Manx Care's offered us a chance to speak to the chair of the Manx Care board, Professor Wendy Reed. So we'll, as soon as we have somebody speaking, we'll let you know all about it. Betty's first with us today. Hello, Betty.
Hi, Andy. I've got really two things to say.
Yep.
About Manx Care, for instance. I think Manx Care has achieved nothing except to provide cover for the health department and absolve them from the responsibility. And not only Teresa Cope should go, I think a whole lot of them should go.
Well, the thing is, Betty, what the purpose of Manx Care was basically to take the day-to-day out of the hands of politicians. They didn't want politicians running the show, so the theory was to take it away from the politicians and it will be run by an arm's-length organisation. So you don't think that's worked?
It hasn't worked at all. I mean, I can cite a few cases where it hasn't worked. For instance, I don't care about this particularly, but I'm just citing it as an example. In my case, I've had this year three medical appointments denied. They've stopped them.
Yeah.
And this is the third time that I've had an appointment for each of these facilities, and it hasn't gone ahead. And the last time I had one, they gave me an appointment in 6 months' time. So that's not terribly good. And I know people and relatives who've had urgent care needed, urgent appointments needed, and they've not had the appointment for 7 months to a year, which is totally ridiculous. So that's how I feel. One way, and I've spoken to lots and lots of people who've had similar experiences and who've had even much worse experiences. So it just has not worked.
Okay. What else was on your mind?
Well, the other thing was on my mind, and I left a message this morning on Manx Radio. They have said that MHKs will be prevented from speaking about wind farms, and I think this is not democracy at all, and I think, are we now Russia? And the government is selling the birthright of all Manx people for a mess of pottage. Ofsted says it wants fairness, but I don't think Ofsted would recognise fairness if subject came up, and this is on the bum.
Well, Mr. Cannon didn't exactly. Of course, you can. Mr. Cannon didn't exactly say that. What he says is, if anybody gives an opinion on the Moor Vannin wind farm, the offshore wind farm, when it comes to debates in Tynwald, and remember, there's a report that's coming back from the planners, then it'll be debated in Tynwald. Anybody who's compromised themselves by giving an opinion, either way, about this, will have to recuse themselves, will have to chip out of this. So it's, and again, it may not be ideal, but the trouble is, there are legal reasons for all this that apparently trump everything else, that because of the legalities that the people can't have. I mean, I have to say, it won't stop some people having their say, will it?
I don't know, but I mean, if there are legal reasons, perhaps they should tell us what they are. And from what I heard on the people speaking, they were saying that the MHKs weren't allowed to speak to them about it.
Well, I'm sure people will. I mean, I don't think you're going to stop Manx people talking about things and having an opinion. It just depends whether that person gets elected to the House of Keys.
No, I mean Manx people in government who are now MHKs not being allowed to speak to the people about it.
So what would you like to happen?
I'd like them to tell the truth. I'd like them to speak to the people who ask them questions and tell the people whether they're going to vote for wind farms or not.
Right. OK. What's your opinion about the wind farm, Betty?
I don't think any of the wind farms should go ahead. I don't think we're getting value for money for them. And apparently the government are getting $47 million or something like that. And you know, nowadays, that's just a drop in the ocean. They've spent over $100 million, or are going to spend over $1 million on the port at Liverpool. People have said they can make it up by making some, achieving some deficiencies in departments, because they have brought on too many people, and all the money they're paying them would help to make up for that $47 million.
My word, you'd have to sack a lot of people to get $47 million.
Well, it would be a start, and there are other things, you know. I think they probably waste a lot of money. Most bureaucracies do.
Yeah. OK. All right, Betty, good to hear from you as always. Thanks for being with us.
OK, thank you. Bye.
It's 13 minutes past 12. Andrew's on now. Hi, Andrew.
Hi there, Andy. Good day to you. Please, I wasn't going to mention this, but I will, because Betty's just mentioned it. I did hear the interview with Richard, the GARF commissioner, after attending the COMIS last night.
Yeah.
And Orsted, and he made a point that why don't they find the equivalent amount of money, which I think was 3.5% of something, by making savings. And he said, and MHK said, well, they could be able to do that, but it'd mean cutting doctors and nurses. So please, maybe your reporter who was there at the time, can you find out who it was, the MHK, who's saying that frontline services are the first things that should be cut rather than admin?
Well, so that's a way to scare everybody, isn't it, by saying that doctors and nurses will have to go.
It is, exactly, which, please, can somebody out, whichever MHK it was that said that, and what I was calling about, please, Andy, was Treasury and accountability.
Right.
And I haven't seen it on your site, but it is on another site, about the Public Accounts Committee hearing with Treasury, and about the accounts that needed to be prepared by July, and which hadn't been. And The delays meant Treasury had breached Regulation 11 of the Audit Act, and the person in charge there is Mr. Kodrick Randall, Chief Financial Officer, who told the hearing that no formal direction was issued to extend the deadline. There was no direction made, he said, quote, acknowledging the regulation is, get this, almost universally not complied with. And a breach, apparently, of Regulation 11 is an offence under Section 21 of the regulations and carries a fine of up to £5,000. I mean, there's just no accountability, is there? There should be some accountability. He's the Chief Financial Officer. I mean, if he cannot direct the people underneath, you need to get these accounts to me by this date, or what's the point? There's no point. I mean, he's actually admitting there. He's pleading guilty to committing an offence. So what's going to happen? There has to be accountability on this.
Seems strange.
Well, it's just, this is how things are. There's no accountability. The public are looking for accountability. That's all I really have to say on that.
Okay.
The last item I did have, please, was the DOI redirecting resources to the test centre to deal with hopefully reducing the queues of people there,
yeah,
trying to deal with paperwork.
Yeah.
And Sean mentioned this yesterday in the morning, and hopefully this is a misprint from the DOI press release. But apparently, according to what Sean was saying, and I think she's probably reading it, 76% of DOI clients are now doing business online, such as renewing tax discs, etc. And then she said 14%. So for the remaining 14%, hopefully that'll shorten the queues. So hopefully she just missed the DOI statement, should have said 24%, because otherwise where's the other 10%?
Yeah.
And let's bear in mind, 24% is not a small number. That's one in four people. It's not like, you know, one in ten. It's one in four are still doing transactions in paper. So they need to provide staff to cover that. It's not a small number.
So, I mean, bearing in mind that they always tell us that the future is online, do you think it's a way of making more people to go online?
Well, it's the same as the item yesterday about cash machines. It's just being forced upon people that no cash machines, so you have to use online transactions.
Yeah. It was interesting, that point about cash machines yesterday, because I mean, there used to be some of those. They were called link machines, weren't they? Cash machines around in various places. But it charged you to get money out. I think it was £1.50 or something. It charged you to get money out, because nobody's going to put a cash machine in for free. So I just wonder how people would feel about paying for cash, Andrew.
Well, I mean, if I go abroad and I want to use a cash machine and to get some euros out, I have to pay for it. I have to pay at the cash machine a fee,
yeah,
and then the local bank here goes and stings you something like 3.6% as an extra conversion fee.
Mm.
So, I mean, it's not... I mean, if you go into... I mean, it's all about saving... these people saving costs by not having to carry cash.
Yeah.
and the banks from not having to transport cash around and employ staff to count it.
It's patently obvious that the banks don't really care that much about the public, about private banking. They're interested in corporate banking because that's where the money and the fees are.
They're interested in corporate banking if you're a window cleaner or a nail technician or something. If you do international business on the Isle of Man, no, they're not interested.
Is that so?
There's just too many hoops in the way. And they look at it and say, it's not on our risk profile. If you're doing international banking, if you've got an international business, no, sorry. But yes, if you were a window cleaner or a painter and decorator, or something, yeah, that's fine. Caveat, as long as you don't deal in cash.
All right.
Cheers, Andy.
All right, good to hear from you. Thanks for that. And interesting, if it is difficult to do business internationally, is it difficult? Anyway, if you can tell me, by all means, do get in touch. And we got Jewin's with us now. Hi, Jewin.
Hey, nice day, Andy, but still cold at night, isn't it?
Isn't it just? Yes, let's hope. Do you use heating oil?
No, I'm on gas, actually.
Oh, well, that's okay.
But I've got the candles out at the moment, but I'm down to my last wick. There's no heat in the air, is there? Nice days, but as soon as that goes in, there's no heat in the air. But global warming.
It'll be fine for TT.
Let's hope so. And just listening to that news article this morning on Theresa Cope leaving. But I've got to say, every meeting that I've been to, Theresa's been very amenable, easy to talk to, very pleasant. And she was given an overfull desk when she started and an uphill struggle. So I've got to say, she's always been very pleasant and easy to ask questions to all the time that I've seen her. Just a bit of housekeeping from yesterday. I was talking to the Chief Minister yesterday. And my biggest, what I was trying to nail down there yesterday, Andy, and it wasn't the person that I met, I spoke about. It was the skill set of bringing people in to do jobs where we have local people here. And my end aim was the Isle of Man and how far it's invested into DEIs. Which, for people who don't know what that is, it's a lot of these alphabet groups that have set up these days, diversity, equity, and inclusivity. And that was my point here, is how much box ticking now is this government doing to tick boxes to comply with DEI procedure and ESG procedure, which is not very helpful, getting more divisive by the day. And that was my point with this. And I didn't get the answer that I was looking for. I didn't expect one, to be honest. But I think the whole DEI thing probably started with good intention, but it's quickly being kidnapped.
Well, the new lady who's taken over, Grace Eames, I mean, she purposely said, she wants to deliver a strategy, engage skilled and inclusive public service. That's what she wants. I mean, by DEI, do you mean quotas, where in certain places there are actual quotas that people have to fill regardless of the skill set?
Correct. And I mean, when you look at just touching on Grace Eames there, she's very involved with DEIs. But humanology, when you look at it, is the study of human nature and behaviour. So that's what her job is, basically, with humanology. And she's humanology consultants. But yes, that's exactly what I'm getting at, is the fact that, is this government compliant on putting people in there from whatever to fill boxes? And this is the problem that we have. Equality is great. And it's like a lot of things that's happened in the last 5 years. They ask pertinent questions, which you can't deny. Do Black Lives Matter? Yes, they do. But it's a question that you can't deny, but it's turned around and used for manipulative purposes. And this is the worrying part, because it's gone over the other way now. It's not equality anymore. It's stepped over the other side. So, you know, in effect, if you're ticking boxes, if you're employing a transgender black plumber with one arm, you're going to tick five boxes. You know, someone.
And you'd like to know
that.
Whether the government has guidelines in place that will enforce DEI, and whether there are quotas in place.
Exactly that, and this kind of suggests the way things are going and what they're doing that they have.
But the chief minister didn't seem to think that was the case. He said we get the best person for the job, and obviously the work permit system is in place. So if anybody breaks the work permit system in hiring somebody, that's against the law, June.
So, and again, the question that I asked yesterday, which was skipped around, was government employed someone from away to do a job which a local could do. So straight away, who do you complain to? Because the complainant office is the government. So this is my point here, is someone within our civil service, and there is a few, are invested into these ESG and DEI procedures. And if we look at the people that we have, I mean, I could give you a list, Andy, and we'll go through them in another time, but we've got people like Gary Saunders now, who's high up. I think Julian mentioned this the other week, who's worked for the likes of Arup for 6 years. Now, we look where these problems are coming from. They're coming from companies like Arup, and they're coming from 2030 agendas and all these here things that these governments are following, which is not beneficial to our island or our island people. And that's kind of where I'm coming from when I keep mentioning this all the time. You know, they're not working for the people of the island. They're ticking boxes, which is not necessarily good for us. Yeah. And if someone from government can come on and say that they're not and put their name to it, fantastic. But step up and tell us. And that's the question that I'm asking. And I'll be asking that for the next 4 months of every person that comes on the man in line, or any candidate that's wanting to stand in the hustings.
Okay.
You know, I think questions now really need to be asked in this next election of people who are standing, what their true means are, and not beating around the bush. Common sense stuff of where we're going with the island. I think it's very important. This next election is very important to our island and where we're heading.
Okay. All right, June, thanks.
Cheers,
for being good to hear from you. Thanks for that. Yes. Well, we mentioned that Theresa Cope is leaving. In a letter to staff members this morning, Theresa Cope said it's been a great privilege to lead MaxCare since its inception. 1st of April 2021, she'll be leaving this summer. And, well, the details, Lewis Foster's been looking at the story. Lewis?
Moments before MaxCare issued an official statement this morning, we were forwarded an email which had been sent to staff at the organisation. In it, Theresa Cope said the MaxCare board will, this week, approve its review of the past 5 years, which she says recognises the considerable progress MaxCare has made during this time to improve the health and care services for the island's population. In light of this, Ms. Cope says it feels like the right time to step down from her role as chief executive. She says it's her 36th year of continuous service in health and care since starting her clinical training in 1990, and she intends to take a couple of months off and enjoy summer on the island before progressing new opportunities in the autumn. Well, the official statement which followed shed a little more light on the reason for her departure. Thanking Theresa for her efforts over the past 5 years, Health Minister Claire Christian said the ongoing governance review has pointed to a range of areas in which things are working well, but also areas where improvements can be made. And Timwalt have asked for these areas to be reviewed and opportunities for any improvements to come back. She describes it as Theresa's decision to move on to the next chapter of her career, but it's a decision, she says, which will allow them the opportunity to conclude the review before we proceed to recruit. Meanwhile, Chair of the Manx Care Board, Professor Wendy Reid, is quoted as saying the formation of Manx Care from a standing start was a huge ask, and undoubtedly there has been progress across many areas of governance, transparency, and most importantly, care on the island. She adds, on behalf of the Board of Directors, I would like to thank Theresa personally for her hard work, dedication, and commitment during these years, and together with the Department of Health and Social Care, we look forward to supporting the conclusion of the governance review and will continue to work with Theresa on appropriate handover planning. Theresa Cope says her time at MaxCare will conclude at the end of June. For now, it's business as usual.
Teresa Cope is leaving. She's been a frequent visitor on Man in Line, was on just a month or so ago, and has always taken up the opportunity to come and speak on behalf of Manx Care and take calls and questions all the time. It will be interesting to see, obviously, who's going to take over. James on 623 said, I would just like to say that I can't really blame Teresa Cope for stepping down. She was given an impossible job and was made the scapegoat for political failings that never delivered the deal she was offered. Anybody thinking it'll change with a replacement needs to think again. An anonymous texter said, why can't senior clinicians and nurses form a group to run administration of the hospital rather than the pricey Manx Care? Well, if you can get a group of senior clinicians and nurses to run to do that, then I've got some land to sell you west of Kirkmichael. If it was Daphne Kane, said Andrea, who spoke about cutting frontline staff, doctors and nurses, no mention of administration. That was Andrea's point of view. And Will said, do the cruise ships dump sewage in our waters? I've seen them do it. Really, Will? Really, have you? Well, if you have, then I'm sure you took a photo and you can report it. I'm sure that the cruise liners don't dump sewage off our coast, but if you've got some absolute concrete proof, then by all means, do get in touch. I'd be interested to know. A large island business I worked for years got work permits, no problem, even though there were Manx candidates that could fill the vacancy, says Marie. Well, yesterday, do you remember I spoke to the Chief Minister about this? And he said, if you know anybody who is breaking immigration laws, you call the Treasury. The Treasury is responsible for immigration, the Isle of Man Immigration Office. And if you want to give them a call, it's 685203. 685203. If you know anybody who is breaking the law for immigration, for work permits and things like that, then surely it's your duty. I mean, not just to call here. It's very nice that you do call, but heck, report it. If somebody's breaking the law, then that's what the laws are there for. Patrick's on now. Hi, Patrick.
Good afternoon, Andy. Andy, the health service is supposed to be responsible for patients, I imagine.
Yeah.
So I can't understand why Ramsey Cottage Hospital has had infestation of the big fellows for almost 6 years now, and they're finally doing something about it. And one ended up on someone's lap. So what sort of health service we got if we can't deal with it immediately and get rid of them? It's unbelievable.
Well, when Teresa Cope was in last month, I asked the direct question, what the system is there. And the deal is that the freehold is held by the DHSC, the Department of Health and Social Care. The tenant is Manx Care. And the DOI, Department of Infrastructure, they do the repairs. So Manx Care are stuck in the middle. They're only the tenant. Surely it's the landlord's job to do the work and to get it repaired.
And surely it's the government's job to step on them. Because what is the point in having an MHK if they can't deal with that situation?
Well, I think everybody agrees about this, but it seems like everybody's in a circle pointing at each other. That everybody knew there were Joeys around there. Everybody knew there was a problem. But, we had to wait until until it got insurmountable. So, and here we are. It's not been sorted yet.
Disgraceful. The other man, to me, is now on a downward slide, because if an MHK, I mean, all these ones standing for election now, they'll all be saying what they're going to do and what they're not going to do. But if the ones that are already in, nobody gets the sack. Nobody has the book. Just pass the book on. That's always the way. I don't understand the government now.
So you want Ramsey Cottage Hospital fully opened, yeah?
Yeah, if it's... Well, that's what the people in Ramsey want, the people in that area want it. To me, it should be millions spent on it and do a good job.
Okay. All right. Thanks, Patrick. Good to hear from you. Here's David with us now. Hi, David.
Hi, Randy. I just want to talk yesterday, and I missed the Chief Minister, but never mind. I want to thank him, really. He'll probably listen back, or he'll get one of his uppos to listen in to see what we're saying about him. But I want to thank the Chief Minister and Tim Crookle for doing the Local Authority Act and the Clause 5. And I believe it was at the Legislative Council this morning, so I don't know whether you have any insight in what's actually gone on. But I also wanted to talk about the Chief Minister and the government here too, about the arm's length companies, which you mentioned before, about the Housing Board. We've not heard about them. They've not been on the radio. They're not accountable. We can't ask questions about them. And asking, what are they doing? Government is sitting on substantial parcels of land on brownfield sites which should be developed. And what are they actually doing? I don't know whatever happened to the old nurse's home. Did it come in budget or was well overspent? I believe. Anyway, no proof of that. But anyway, what's gone on there? Is it occupied? Who's occupying it? And is the shop down below occupied? It doesn't look as though it's anything.
No, it doesn't look, does it? I mean, the thing is with the government, because, as you know, a lot of the brownfield sites sit in different departments. And what they want, I think it's Chris Thomas wants to create a central pool, if you like, of all these properties. But getting departments, of, you know what departments are like. They'll hang on to their own little territory as long as they can. So getting departments to give up land, you know, will be like trying to knit fog, David.
Yeah, but all you've got to do is have direction. When I was in Parliament too there, I wasn't under any direction. But at the end of the day, if the council and ministers wanted to do something, they gave each department or each minister a direction. You must do this. This has got to happen. And where are we now? We're coming to an election where nothing's happening at all. This is the saddest thing that's there. I know for a fact that we've been asking, because even in Onchan there's parcels of land which is owned by under government control there, and we've asked to have them so we could build houses, first time buyers or a mixture of first time buyers and local authority there. I know where there is a set of properties which is under control of the health service, and we've got one person living in a 12 unit instead of handing it over to the local authorities to manage, or should we buy it? We just need answers, Andy.
Well, this all seems like patent common sense, David. And the thing is that I'm sure somebody will come on and say, you can't do that because of that, or this needs to be done, and this, we need a committee or a consultant or a report. Mm-hmm. But the thing is, at some point, we have to cut through the red tape and do that, because it would seem, particularly with housing, we have to get something started for young people to get on the ladder.
And we do. And we need to integrate some of the smaller units, too, for smaller developers. We don't have the bigger developers anymore, in my opinion. There are a few still lying around there too, but they'll pick and choose, won't they? And the way that government puts things out, I mean, they can't even build a school down south when they had planning permission. Well, not planning permission, they had concept plans done for Castle Rushen High School years ago. And nothing's been done about it. And if you're the minister and you're not performing, you look at the telly now. If you're the minister not performing, they get rid of you. They change you, don't they? You get the little. You don't even get a thing anymore now. You just get an email. You know, we're changing you. And that's the good thing that Alf did twice, didn't he?
Okay.
DOI minister went. We got a new one. He was fine. Met all the local authorities. Top notch for Tim and Alf. Okay, leave it with you.
Thanks for calling today. Good to hear from you. The Chief Minister says Gaz on 313 was fairly close yesterday in his response about the work of the Auditor General. Now, the Auditor General website indicates they contract external companies to do audit work, but disappointingly shows no detail of them auditing anywhere, particularly big ticket items, says that correspondent. I agree with your caller, says Ali. I have a certain respect for Theresa Cope. She was always tried to engage with the public, particularly on the radio. She didn't shy away from her responsibility, unlike a lot of the chief officers we pay. It may transpire that she's had poor backup from other civil servants, so she can't do it alone. Time will tell. Just like the next batch of MHKs, if our poor services are down to faceless civil servants in the background, even when there's a change at the top. I wish her well, says Ali. Well, we've got a chance to straighten things out, don't we? We have a chance in listening to the Chief Minister yesterday. I think that's really the undercurrent of what he said. Something has to be done, and particularly he was talking about the debt, the $75 million. Something has to be done because we can't go on as we are. What do you think?
Walton's for electricals. Great service, great price, and stock to go.
For everything electrical for your home, it has to be Walton's. At Walton's Electrical, we have a huge stock of ready-to-go items at incredible prices. Open Monday to Saturday, 9 till 5, on the Isle of Man Business Park, Braddon. Find us online at waltons.im and follow us on Facebook for our latest offers.
Walton's for electricals. Great service, great price, and stock to go.
Geoffrey, how do you like this composite door from Spectrum Windows?
Oh, good choice, missus. Stylish and hard-wearing. It'll transform the house.
Trouble is choosing the colour. There's so much choice.
How about red? It goes with your eyes.
Anyone would see red living with you, Geoffrey.
For a huge range of solid composite doors in a great range of colours, including red, visit Spectrum Windows, the showroom, Derby Road, Ramsey, or call 817777.
Athol Garage in Ballasalla doesn't just service and repair any make or model of car. They also operate a recovery vehicle to rescue you and your vehicle from anywhere on the island.
See? Aren't you glad we went to Athol?
For top quality work from Nissan factory trained technicians, dedicated aftercare, and now recovery too. Athol, a garage to swear by, not swear at. Book now at athol.im or call the A-team whenever you need them. 820082.
Big Red Storage in Tramode and Ronalds Way offers secure self-storage units in various sizes with ground floor options and 24/7 access. Check offers and prices using our online space calculator at bigred.im or call 64004.
Do you ever feel that the news sounds, well, a little familiar? Chances are, it's because you've heard it all before. Using windmills to produce power, we were trialling those in the early 1960s, old news. Reform of the Legislative Council, they were talking about that in the 1950s and earlier, old news. Problems at Peel Commissioners, the Examiner suggested there was another farce there in 1945, old news. Listen to these stories and more in the Old News Podcast with me, H, available via your usual podcast provider or direct from the Manx Radio website. And you can also hear each new podcast broadcast live every Sunday morning, just after 8:30. There's nothing new under the sun, it seems. It's all old news.
The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
Eric's on now. Hi, Eric.
Hi, Andy. Well, less than 2 weeks away now from the TD. And I'm just wondering how the organisers, have they put the price down for the grandstand, and how they're going to make repayments, refunds for people who will want them? Because I had seen when I was come passing the bus last week where these containers have been put. So yesterday I got off the bus. I struggled to get up there because the lift wasn't working. But people, especially in the disabled part, and people in the first two rows can no longer see up Glen Cutchery Road. They've got these five containers, two stories high. It looks like it's some sort of corporate entertainment. But, you know, you've just spoiled the view from the grandstand. What's the point in doing that?
My word. And is that the first... This is going to be the first year that's happened, Eric?
Yeah, it's never been there before. You know, and you literally, you're going to be able to watch them coming into the pits, and that'll be all. You used to be able to see them almost coming from Governor's Bridge. Yeah, I've never actually watched the bikes in there myself, but, you know, somebody mentioned on the radio last week, and I'd seen it. So I just thought the only way to know is to go and have a look, and that's what I found. So I would imagine that there's going to be quite a few people who are going to buy a ticket, and then they're going to get up there and see they can't see up the road, and they're going to want their money back, and quite rightly so. Mm. And if it's more corporate hospitality, well, what about the ordinary people who aren't paying £1,000, you know, to sit in corporate hospitality? You know, what about the ordinary people who go there?
OK, well, we'll wait and watch and see, Eric, but certainly if that's
well,
the case...
Well, really, they shouldn't wait and see. It's been highlighted there's a problem. So they ought to move that back.
Okay.
You know, or put it somewhere else. Why are you going to wait and see, and then you're going to get fans coming here, paid all the money to get here, and then they're not going to have a view from the grandstand?
Okay.
Absolute stupidity.
All right. Eric, thanks for calling today.
Okay.
Good to hear from you. 16 minutes before one. Talking of the TT, got a message in from Eleanor, who said, the soil bank below the railway in Union Mills, isn't it? The beer garden suffered a small landslip. This is presumably because there's a significant leak draining through the hedge at that point. This is by the railway in pub. About a year ago, the leak was torrential and spilled onto the road like a gushing waterfall. Though better than it was, it's still causing the road to be wet in a strip from one side to the other. This is the case even after a spell of sunny, dry weather. Is this going to be rectified before the TT? And who's responsible for fixing this? Now, the road was recently closed at this point, but there's no sign of the problem being solved. That's Eleanor in Crosby. Have you spotted this? That water draining from one side of the road to the other by the railway garden, the railway inn beer garden, because of that small landslip? This is Steve, who said, from experience, I know categorically trade employers advertise locally first. They're legally bound to do so. They either get insufficient applicants or young local people who don't turn up or spend hours on their phone in work. They therefore legally advertise wider to get people who are qualified and willing to do the job. This is not a single shred of information that non-local applicants are being favoured due to DEI. That's Steve's point of view for that. And the containers at the grandstand aren't corporate hospitality. They're the TV studio that's moved from the fan park, says James. But the caller does have, this is for 488, James, the caller does have a valid point about blocking the view for paying ticket holders. It's the TV studio. I agree with David. I know exactly where David's talking about, where one person, that place should be turned into a mother and baby unit instead of sending the poor mums off the island to Birmingham to a mother and baby unit. Actually, it's disgusting how the social care sent mums and babies off the island to learn how to feed their babies. Says Anna. What's the point of electing new MHKs who are just puppets controlled by the civil servants? So the MHKs can't sack underperforming civil servants, says Pompey Pete. Well, let's get things straight. A lot of civil servants are doing a great job. We're not having a go at all civil servants. It's just that at some point we see certain things that obviously have gone a bit out of kilter. Things haven't happened. And remember, it has to be said, Mr. Cannon did have a cull of some senior civil servants a few years ago. So some did disappear. But obviously, we have a problem. We have several issues that we have to address. And the Chief Minister mentioned some of them yesterday. And bear in mind, I know there's no excuses, but we have had three shocks. We did have COVID, which nobody saw coming. We did have Ukraine, which nobody saw coming. And we got the situation in Iran now, which really was going to happen at some point, but nobody knew when it was going to happen. So we do have these issues, and that's the situation. It was mentioned earlier on about Richard Henthorne, the chair of GARF Commissioners, who's calling on the government to look at efficiencies instead of selling GARF down the river, quote. Comes after the public session in the latest round of hearings into proposals for the 87-turbine wind farm off the East Coast. Richard Henthorne thinks the government should save more money than it could save more money than the wind farm would generate. Richard Henthorne, chair of GARF Commissioners.
It's deeply worrying for us, you know, that we're being cornered into this position, made to come and appear at meetings like this and have conversations, deeply technical conversations, and try to fight GARF's corner. And that's why I got angry, because this is, they're selling GARF down the river for £57 million. And I asked one of our MHKs, why can't you make 3% of savings within government efficiencies, and that will give you £57 million a year. And the reply was, well, we'd have to get rid of doctors, and we'd have to get rid of nurses, we'd have to get rid of, you know, other people like that. And I said, well, can't you just make efficiencies in other ways? You know, there's a lot of people in a lot of departments, and you've taken on an awful lot of people since you've got into power, and that's where all the money's going. So that's the way to make the savings, not to industrialise the whole landscape of Garth, you know, to get the gain. And how long is this £57 million going to last until it's all used up again in some department and we're back again? What do we do then? Sell Peel's coastline off then, and then we're up at the Point of Ayre and down at the south of the island, so the whole island surrounded with it to support our income, because we keep paying out all the time. You know, that's why I'm angry about it. The Garth are fighting their corner, this massive company, and government seem to have just completely gone to ground and gone silent about it. But what I'd just say to the Manx public is that even if we persuade our two MHKs in the Garth area that to be against this, it's only two people in a room of 24. We need at least 12 to 14 to 15 MHKs to be firmly against this, so that when it comes to the decision making in Tynwald next year or whatever, that it is turned down, because it'll fundamentally change not only Garth but the island eventually, because we'll become this. Once they put one in, it'll become an industrialised thing, it'll be all around us. We've seen a little plan with the paperwork with these things all around the island. We've seen that.
Okay, and thanks to any comment on that from Richard Henthorne. Thanks also. Pippa said, I have to say that the people who organised the rally at the weekend did a fantastic job and really enjoyed watching the rally. And just like to say thank you to everybody who came to the Isle of Man to take part in the sport. Were you involved in the rally at the weekend? Andrew's back. Hi, Andrew.
Hi there, Andy. Just a quick update on the bank by the embankment by the railway at Union Mills. I did actually phone in the DOI this morning and made the comparison with the bank by Pear Tree Cottage on the way to Greeba Castle, which was repaired by contractors about 10 days ago. And according to the lady on reception at DOI who deals with this, it will be dealt with within the next 2 weeks.
Well, let's hope so, because it's got to be right for then, hasn't it? But thanks for the update, Andrew.
All righty. Cheers now.
All right. Bye. Good to hear from you. 9 minutes before one. I was watching the Northwest 200 last week, says Nikki. And when they were interviewing some of the competitors, it was sad to hear them say that where the Northwest used to be a practice for the TT, the Northwest is becoming more popular and favoured over the TT due to the way the TT is being run and the way that it's been changed. The organisers of the TT really need to listen to competitors and visitors and put the schedule back to what it was before they changed it for the worst, says Nikki.
Scrap metal coming out of your ears. Then there's only one place to call, Castaignes Scrap Metal, of course. Castaignes pay top prices for lead, brass, copper, aluminium and stainless steel, as well as ferrous metals, scrap vehicles, and they're even licensed to scrap lead acid batteries. Drop it off today or Castaignes can come and take it away. Castaignes Scrap Metal, Foxtel Road, call 801-337.
Oh, I don't believe it.
Don't believe what?
A small stone just flew off and shattered the conservatory window.
Oh, no problem. I'll call out Manx Glass and Glazing.
Can they fix it?
Yeah. Mum's glass shattered and they soon replaced it.
Manx Glass and Glazing don't just do the big jobs. Visit Snugborough Trading Estate for all your glazing supplies and repairs, including broken or failed double glazed units, along with good old-fashioned customer service and product knowledge.
Manx Glass and Glazing. You're smashing.
Simply Income Protection from Kestrel Insurance, a choice of benefits. Simple underwriting and peace of mind with a regular income for up to 2 years if you're unable to work due to illness or injury. Kestrel Insurance is registered with the Isle of Man Financial Services Authority.
For 100 years, Manx Petroleum has been part of island life. From fueling journeys to heating homes and businesses, we've been there, quietly, reliably, locally. A century of keeping the island moving. A century of keeping it warm. A century built on trust. And today, as ever, we're powering everyday life with care, experience, and premium fuels. Manx Petroleum, always here for you.
The
This is your official invitation to take a stroll around Ramsey Garden Centre and take in the extensive ranges available for your home, no matter the size. Grow smarter, greener, season after season with Ramsey Garden Centre.
The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
6 minutes before one, the wind farm will be a great tourist attraction, says Texter 376. Well, you could try that, couldn't you? The wall at Pear Tree Cottage is DEFA property wall. The wall at the railway belongs to the pub, says 221. Is that true? Is anybody know if the government's going to paint and tidy up the ferry bridge before TT? It's not been touched for years. That's 539. And is it true that the spectator seats at Braddon Bridge are going to be £25 per person? Well, Manx Skeeter, I think, there. Thanks also to Trina. Trina said, are there any tickets left for that show on Saturday? No, it's all sold out. The Iron One Voting for Dummies show at the Peel Centenary Centre is also... You can nip into Celtic Gold if you want to find out all the Centenary Centre, but I think it's all sold out. And we're back with another open line tomorrow for Wednesday. Thursday, it's Nick the pharmacist. Nick Kay's going to be in to talk about, well, we won't be giving any personal advice, but it'd be interesting. I'll certainly ask Nick about this virus that's going around the cruise liner and what have you, and just to see what his opinion is regarding that. And in view of the recent decisions made by government culminating the issues surrounding this sister dying bill, this is David's message, I feel the government has proved we don't have the expertise to govern ourselves. And Roy B says, this is all the MHK's fault. This is the Manx Care thing. They didn't want to work hard and manage the hospital, so they used public money to make their jobs easier. I blame the government entirely, not Theresa Cope. Theresa Cope, the boss of Manx Care, is stepping down in June. Will says, I saw over the weekend there were four workers from a UK company with a UK registered van parked on the pavement, trimming grass along the railway line through Lonnon to Laxey. Well, is that so? And why do we need to bring UK companies in on contract to trim grass? Who issues the permits, says Will. Mike on 290 said, regarding green energy, if the UK can produce just over 50% of their energy from renewable sources, then can we just use or upgrade the undersea connecting cable? We'll then reach our sustainability target and not destroy our land and seascape, our greatest asset. Well, it's a good idea. Whether or not it will work or not, I don't know. Mike, you should stand for keys. That's it. Thanks to Chris on the phones today. Thank you for being involved in Man in Line. Back tomorrow with another open line on Manx Radio.
WINT.